Caribbean Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
See Live Off the Record with Chivago Line is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Grand Bahama News, Kelly's Home Center, Nay's Pancake Place, the National Insurance Board, the National Youth Guard, Print Masters, RF Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are well today, that you are doing very well today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers for the show are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on the BTC Flow channel 612. ETC Flow Channel 612. So, as you all already know, I spent 10 years in the House of Assembly. Entered that place when I was 29 years old. I turned 30 in September of the year that I entered the House at 29. And I was in there from 1997 to 2002. When I got in, the great Lyndon Oscar Pindling was still a member of the House. And so I sat in the House of Assembly when Sir Lyndon gave his farewell speech in the House of Assembly. What a moment. For me, profound moment, and then sure, a historic moment. Having watched a gentleman who ushered us into majority rule, ushered us into independence, and led us for so many years inspirationally. And I watched him give his farewell speech. I was also a member of parliament when he passed away. I had to participate in the state funeral for this giant of a man, political leader in the country. I watched many, many, I thought, very solid men and women pass through the House of Assembly. I will never forget, even prior to going into the House of Assembly, I had occasion to sit in the House, and Kendall Isaac was a member of the House of Assembly at that time. And what I most recalled from sitting in the gallery watching Sikandar was, how attentive he was to what was being said in the house. I recall that distinctly. He sat there, pierced, his eyes pierced on whoever was speaking, just listening. He had what I regarded as a reverence for the House of Assembly. That's what I picked up, a reverence for it, right? And over the course of my sojourn in the House of Assembly in my early days, Mr. Ingram was very keen to help me understand how serious and profound the responsibility I had was in the House of Assembly, how sacred it was to be a member of that house, and how that house had to be regarded with such the utmost respect. And that we had a serious obligation to our participation there, that whatever we brought inside the House of Assembly, we had to be responsible for. Meaning, if Shivagolang brought into the House of Assembly a piece of article, wasn't written by me, was written by somebody else, whatever was in it that I was claiming and referring to, I had to own as my own truth and fact. So I don't just go in there and say it and do it and walk away like I didn't have any responsibility for it. No, you brought it in here. You tabled it. You brought that. That's your stuff. That's what you're trying to say. That if the members opposite asked questions, there was a duty we had to answer them. Mind you, you may not always want it to. You may have, you know, sometimes not given it the highest priority, but that was your obligation, he said to me. Answer those questions, because they come from the representatives of the people. That's what Hubert Alexander Ingram said to me. I remember, y'all may not remember these. We, you know, times have gone by now so long ago. We may not remember, but one of the platforms on which Mr. Ingram ushered himself into politics was the platform of accountability and transparency, and noting the extent to which the government was unwilling, reluctant to answer questions in the House of Assembly. Y'all remember that? And so he tried to make a point of doing so and re-established the question and answer day and what have you. Was always as faithful to it as I think he would have liked or it ought to have been. But he did make an effort to do so. I have to tell you how amazed, absolutely amazed, I have been to hear some of the things that I have heard in the House of Assembly recently. I have to tell you, see, I have to tell you, let me be honest, right? Some days I come to this show and I'm hesitant. I really am, you know? Because I told you all some months ago that the nearer we get to election, you cannot comment on anything now without being looked at as politically biased one way or the other. That's what it's going to be. And so you run the risk of people casting you that way. Well, go right ahead. Do what you have to do. If Michael Pintard utter something foolish, they will talk about it right on the show. I guarantee you, promise you, I will, as I have done, not in terms of anything foolish, but certainly things I have not agreed with in respect to what he has said. I've said that says right on the show several times, actually. Not just like other PLPs, sometimes look at me cross-eyed, FNMs. Is it looking me cross? I do. I used to hear from the people who hearing from them. I used to hear about the things they said behind my back. These are the FNMs now. Let me tell you something. Hubert Alexander ministered to me one time. People tell him I am against him. What do you tell me? So FNM's complain, PLP's complain. I think I'm doing my job. I think so. And the DNA, I mean, the COIs complain. So I think I'm doing my job. Fairly, at least, I should say. Anyway, so I'm listening in the House of Assembly. And I actually appreciate the energy of Minister Jo Beth Colby. I think she has a certain bravado about her, an energy about her that, if channeled correctly, could make things happen. I think so. But I heard this young minister. I heard this new minister. I heard this new entrant to frontline politics and to the upper echelon of governance in the country say to the leader of the opposition, I'm not prepared to answer your question today. I'm going to wait till after your convention. Why I'm not prepared to answer your question today, I am going to wait until after the convention. Then I will be prepared to do so. I was shocked. I was stunned. But then I realized that this was a theme, because the prime minister told the leader of the opposition, when asked the question, I will not answer that question. The member will not answer that question. And then on another occasion, he said, I'm not prepared to answer that question. So on one question, he said, I will not answer the question. On the other, and this was a question about the terms and conditions for a $500 million loan, the prime minister said, I will not answer that question. And then on another case, he said, I'm not prepared to do so. And when the leader of the opposition inquired why he wasn't prepared to do so, he just didn't. I'm stunned. Really, I am stunned. I am stunned. Because again, what is important for us to recognize is Prime Minister Davis is first the representative of the people of Cat Island, from Key and San Salvador. First, that's what he is first. If he were not that, he could not be Prime Minister. You see? That's how it works. Each minister who is not in the Senate is first a member of Parliament that has made it possible for them to be a minister. Similarly, Michael Bentard and his group are representatives of the people. So I want you to imagine that it wasn't Mr. Bentard asking the question, but all of the constituents of Marco City asking the prime minister the question, and the prime minister says, I'm not going to answer that. Because that's exactly what it means. That is exactly what it means. That isn't figurative. That isn't virtual. That is exactly what it means, that each of those persons in the House of Assembly come there as representatives of a people. And so when they speak and talk nonsense, so if Michael Bentard them talk nonsense, or Prime Minister Davis's side talks nonsense or talks incorrect things or unfactual things, if any of them, what they are doing is, you just imagine that the people that they represent are in the House of Assembly talking nonsense. When they talk sense, when they do great, same thing. Okay, so it's interesting, indeed. Our democracy is not supposed to work that way. Okay, I have to be honest, it's not supposed to work that way. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing. But silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody's business, then Jack come after me, and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and we could text them, and the message just get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Elaine, you hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now?
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No, about how we gotta pay a little more for national insurance.
Mildred, you talking fool. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying, poor mouth. Ain't gonna be much. Boss still got to pay. 1st of July, 2024.
I think that criminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. Oh. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we got to do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
Cheney's Uniform Center, Chesapeake Road Warehouse Clearance Sale. Present off under the Big Ten only. Going on now. Everything under the tent must go. School uniforms, character raincoats, socks, fabrics and laces, backpacks, lunch bags, threads, zippers, ribbons, hair bubbles, and much more. Everything must go. Up to 50% off. Yes, up to 50% off. Save on selected school uniforms now. Restrictions may apply. Hurry into Janae's Chesapeake Road Tent Warehouse Clearance Sale. No exchanges or refunds on the items on sale. All sales are final.
Are you ready for the best of the best? Keep the Vibe Alive Music Group up for sound promotion, and Guardian Radio presents the best of the best Reconscript Explosion Concert. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Superclub Breeze's Grounds ignite with Bahamian Talent featuring KB, Gino D, Funky D, Veronica Bishop, The Brylanders, Avi, Elon Moxie, and Shine 242. Join the Falcons, Iron Storm, Jovi Pierre, Johnny Cake, Mama D, Nishi LS, Pat Rami, Stevie S, and Shad Colley and the VIPs for an electrifying night of music and culture. Tickets are flying, so grab yours now. Available online at BahamasEtickets.com or swing by the Beauty Shack on Soldier Road and Carmichael Road. This is the event of the year. The best of the best rake and scrape explosion at Breezes Resorts. Gates open at 6 p.m. Don't miss out on the Bahamian Magic.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, you can call us on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Tech says, good afternoon. If the PM don't want to answer the questions, where can we go to get this corrected? It is a slap in the voter's face. You can't go anywhere. If he doesn't want to answer the questions, you can't force him to do so. You can punish anyone, any politician you want at election time, but you can't do anything about it. No. Read this other text. It says, this text says, great show as usual, Mr. Lang. If I ask my child where he or she been last night and they respond by saying they are not prepared to answer any questions, they get kicked out the house, all the clothes out. So how the PM could tell the opposition he ain't prepared to answer no questions? The text says, as usual, I don't think that the party running the government respect Mr. Pintard at all, at all. Says, if the police pull me over and ask me a question, I will say I'm not prepared to answer any questions. If it's good for the PM, it's good for me. Chief, what good for Peter is good for Paul, says this texter. I want to tell you all something. I remember being in the House of Assembly in the days when we were the government and Mr. Christie was leader of the opposition, and we on occasion thought we were being cute when we chuckled at Mr. Christie, when we jeered Mr. Christie, when we just acted like we were in charge. I remember that distinctly. And Mr. Christie would be there in an ever humble position, disposition, even though at times he would strike back verbally, and defend himself and provide his case, etc. But we would arrogantly, just from time to time, just chuckle at him, because this was happening. Hey. Wasn't smiling on the election day when Mr. Christie took the oath of office. Wasn't smiling then. He was then the man, and he was in charge. See, the reality is, we sometimes were playing out a drama for ourselves when the audience was the voters. And what the entertainment we thought we were enjoying was not the entertainment they were enjoying. They had a different critique of the performance. Because ultimately, and this is what Mr. Pintard has to understand, this is what Prime Minister Davis has to understand, and all the members of their team, and all the people in the COI and the DNA and any other party, this is what they have to understand. you cannot get in that house without the voters. And if you are going to act a way, if you are going to be a way, if you are going to say some things, if your interest is to be in the house and to stay in the house or to stay in the house, then you have to have some regard for what voters think. Now, be careful, because in politics, listen to me, folks. In politics, every single politician, every one of them, have a group of people who will be in their ears all along. You know what they're saying? Thou art great, O king, O queen. Thou art great, O king, O queen. Boss lady, boss man, you're great. Boss lady, boss man, y'all is the one. Boy, boss lady, y'all, boss man, y'all really put it on them. Every single day, no matter what you do, how wise or unwise, how intelligent or stupid, it doesn't matter. Every day in your air, they go, oh, you the one, you the one, you the one, you the one, you the one. You could be as naked as a baby on the day it comes out the womb of its mother. They will tell you, you are clothed. You are clothed. And oh, how beautiful your clothes are. Oh, how beautiful your clothes are. It is from whence the expression the emperor is naked came from. Because those people, many of them, the only reason why they exist is to get that little thing from you and believe that if they lotion you sufficiently, they shall always get that little thing and they shall be okay. And you could choose, political person could choose to listen to them. Michael Pintard could choose to listen to them. Ray Davis could choose to listen to them. All of the members of parliament could choose to listen to them. But if their voices are not aligned with the voices of voters, well, the story gets told a different way. At election time, it is not doable. It is not something that we should encourage or expect or want for any political leader on any side of the political divide to say to representatives of people, I'm not going to answer your question. And I'm not prepared to answer your question. Now, if in earnest you say, you know, member, and I did hear Robert Colby say this on another rim, maybe trying to clean up what she said before, she said, you know, I'm not prepared to answer that question today, and so I have to go and get the answers, and when we get the answers, we'll let the Bahamian people know. And then she said, but I wanted to, on the record, what? I want to put on the record that I can't answer you until after convention. What does a political convention have to do with a question asked by a member in the House of Assembly? The member in the House of Assembly is not the representative of FNMs in the House of Assembly. He is representative of the people of the constituency of Marco City. That's who he is. And so when the convention is irrelevant to a question asked about the governance of the state, this is your job. And the business of the public, I was explaining, you know, when I come back, I'll mention it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day. for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Mothers are the heart of our homes, the soul of our memories, and the guiding light through life's journeys. Show your love with a gift from Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, Friday, May 3rd through Saturday, May 11th. Enjoy 20% off selected dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. One lucky person can win a gift basket for Mother's Day. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, May 3rd through 11th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
Attention all New Providence customers. Are you ready to spring into savings and make this Mother's Day unforgettable? From April 26th to May 9th, pay your water and sewage bill in full and get a chance to win big. That's right, simply pay your bill and you'll be automatically entered to win a stunning 55-inch smart TV. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to treat yourself or that special mom in your life. Visit any of our water and sewage offices to learn more. Spring into savings and make this Mother's Day one to remember. Water and sewage, committed to growth, committed to quality. Hurry, offer ends soon. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I understand we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. I too, like you, listened to the House of Assembly yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lang, my views about it is totally different. What I think happened yesterday, that's my views now, right? They were joking around with Mr. Pintard about the election. And Mr. Davis at one point said, man, you don't need to worry, man. I'm telling you, you're going to be okay. You know, he's just joking with him. And when the question was asked to Miss Jobet Colby, she said that, you know, she would provide the answer later, something like that, right? And then she made a joke to after the election. I don't think, this is my view, sir, I don't think she meant to say, I can't answer you until after the election. But Mr. Lang, what the thing with me about the House, I think is, I don't want, let me say it how I see. I think it's a game being played. Okay? Because we could all sit down here and go back in our mind to when the both sides would switch, and we can see the same game is being played. Okay?
Are you done? Okay, so I don't doubt that there may have been some cribbing going on. But, you know, I recall, and that's what you say, I recall Ms. Ingram sometimes, like, during a sparring, he might say something funny, but he would come back and say, but seriously, to answer the question. So you can't tell me somebody joking about not answering a question and then don't answer the question, though. Seriously? You, if you're joking, okay, I got the joke, you take a moment, but then you go and you answer the question, or you come back and you say, no, seriously, though, I blah, 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 blah. And so you mentioned what Jobeth Colby did. Prime Minister, this wasn't a joking matter when he said to Mr. Pindad, he said, I am not, the member will not answer that question. That's what he said. And he was serious, right? But I mean, you know, if you're good with that, if you're good with that, no problem. I can't do nothing about it. I'm just saying. You have your view. Okay. Texas High Z, just continue to do your job to the best of your ability, as you've always done. Don't mind the noise in the market. So Jo Beth is very abrasive and acts the way her PM and other ministers embolden her to act. Implicit in that is her constant teasing of Pintad that he is the outgoing leader. That kind of thing don't bother me. You know, that's political play. You know, England did that to Mr. Christie many times. And Mr. Christie them do that to Mr. Ingram many times. Don't bother me. That's just part and parcel of the thing. I'm talking about the business of the House now. And if Joe Beth Colby demonstrates a certain vigor and energy, even if you say abrasive, people used to call Mr. Ingram abrasive, used to call me abrasive, and so forth and so forth. So, I mean, you know, you could always have that. Sometimes people have said you're too passive or you're too this and then the next thing. That don't bother me. You have to do the business. And the business of the people of the Bahamas is a public business. And public business is not like my mind to cherry pick and say and deal with, you know, I mean, it's public business. Right? And think about the question. See, if Mr. Pintad does ask something that I think is facetious, if Mr. Davis and those say to them, man, please, I won't even answer that. I don't understand. I don't have a problem with that. You know what I mean? If they ask some, you know, because you could as opposition raise some question. Oh, did the member with the government enter an arrangement with the Russians to conspire against the United States? Raise such a question. But that's not talking stupidness. Wouldn't even dignify that with an answer. But what are the terms of the $500 million borrowed by the government with respect to this, that, and the D from the IDB or backed by the IDB? And that's a straightforward governance question. I mean, and really, what is complicated about it, right? First of all, if Mr. Pintad does, must have said no. If they don't know this, they should know this. Was the loan approved by the House of Assembly? The government of the Bahamas cannot borrow a nickel nor a dime without a resolution passed in the House of Assembly. So that's the first question. Was there a resolution passed for that borrowing? And presumably, the resolution would have the terms of the borrowing in it. Okay, that's the first thing. So that, and then when the budget is presented the end of this month, every loan of the government of the Bahamas is delineated in a portion of the budget estimates, the document. And so you could see that. And ordinarily, I think there's some brackets or something that kind of gives some terms to the loan. But how complicated could it be to give loan details? The loan is $500 million, borrowed over a period of X years, at an annual interest rate of X percent, and maturing at X date. What's the problem? What's like, seriously? Like, what is nuclear secrecy driven something about that? Nothing. And I could see. Unless. And this is with the IDB. What the heck? It's the IDB. The Inter-American Development Bank has a responsibility within their remit to the governors of the bank. Who are the governors of the bank? The governors of the bank are the countries that are members of the Inter-American system. 184 of them. So they have an obligation to transparency and disclosure there. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. No, we lost them. Okay. So there is that responsibility that even they have. So if Mr. Pintad does, course, they could try to make political fodder of it, you know, and that would be in keeping with politics. But they could wait. They could get the answer. Maybe they already know the answer. But they want the government to say it, right? But borrowings by the government of the Bahamas can't be a complicated affair. They are, first of all, required to be approved by the House of Assembly. And secondly, disclosed at budget time. Y'all ever look in the budget, you see the long list of bonds and loans and so forth and so forth. So, you know, which is it? You know, is it being cute, or is it that there's something untoward, or is it just I just feel like doing it? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Chicago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. When we come back, we'll continue with our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you make it down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. From the Family Islands, 242-300-5720. This text says, good afternoon, sir. But sure, as usual, I agree with the caller. We've all saw this game played out over and over again. When each party becomes the government, Which game now? Which game is it? I'm not going to answer your question game. Is that what you've seen? That from Selinden to Ingram to Christie to Ingram to Christie to that's what you're seeing. Which game? I'm not sure. Says, is Mr. Monroe right when he said that this present government has answered more questions in their 3 years than the FNM did in their entire time? The PLP should answer every question put to them by the opposition. Well, I don't know whether Mr. Monroe is correct. I suspect that he may be. I really do. I suspect he may be, because I do not recall the Minnis administration doing a lot of question and answering. But you cannot lay the question answering to the charge of any member other than the leader of the government. You have to, because let me tell you all how questions and answers work. There is a reason why the questions are required to be put formally to the House of Assembly, you know, and in writing. You realize that? You can get up and ask a question, but we're talking about formal question time now. You're supposed to put those questions in writing. Those questions are then taken to the relevant ministers and ministries for drafting of answers. See, while you are asking the question to the minister of this and the minister of that, you're asking it to the government because we have a cabinet government system. And so those questions, the answers are drafted, they go to the cabinet, and the cabinet deliberates on the answers. Because the cabinet might say, but that don't make no sense. But they ask this, and you are saying this, but that don't answer the question. So what is the answer? And so there is a back and forth that could happen for weeks and weeks on those questions until a answer is drafted that becomes a formal conclusion of the cabinet as to the answer to the question put by the opposition. And then those answers then at the next occasion provided in the House of Assembly. Okay? These are not Jobeth Colby's answers. These are not Philip Brave Davis's answers. These are not Wayne Monroe's answers. These are the answers of the government of the Bahamas regarding matters related to the governance of the Bahamas. That's what they are. And so, they aren't. This isn't something done willy-nilly. Right? Now, as I indicated, I don't know. I don't recall there being too much occasion on which the administration formally answered questions. I don't. In fact, the most vivid memory I have of any real effort to answer questions was when we were in office. That's what I recall, because I remember the time spent answering those questions. Right? But I don't know whether they answered more or not. But, you know, that could also be like this. Like, that could be like a child coming home and bragging to their parents that, "Mommy, Daddy, I got D. A D." And the mommy said, "A D?" Daddy say, "A D?" Say, "Yeah, but everybody else get an E." Right? What we brag about is excellence. We don't brag, and I'm not saying that the government isn't excellent about the question and answering period. I don't suspect that it is. But you don't brag about mediocrity if the other person was more mediocre than you. You brag about your excellence and you brag about doing your duty, because it isn't a question of whether you answer more questions than somebody else. It's, as you said, Dexter, it is you answer the questions that are put to you. And why not? Let me ask you a question. Well, I'm asking all of you this question. If you ask a question, why wouldn't you answer it? Why would you not answer a question? If you're in government, why would you not answer a question? Right? So it's not a question of more or less. You know, the minister's administration is out. Kicked out. There was a reason for that. People weren't happy with their performance. So you can't use them as a standard. Huh? Now would you do you use the winners as a standard or use the losers as a standard? Right? This text says, "I feel like the person asking me the question is beneath me." Yeah, you wouldn't answer the question if you thought someone was beneath you, right? Is that a good reason? Right? Is that a good reason? I didn't answer it because I think you are beneath me. I wouldn't justify your presence in the world by answering any question you put to me. And that's not the PM's disposition, you know, because the PM has answered questions. I've heard him answer questions. you know, but to me, that's why it was a little shocking to me when he said, the member will not answer that question. I mean, the member will not. Now, he may have a reason, but I just don't know it. He didn't give it. He was asked why. But, you know. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, sir. Mr. Lang, so what's the reasoning behind her response that she's not going to answer the question until after convention? What's the reasoning behind that? And I wonder if these member parliaments or these ministers of government understand that the public are listening to them, and that they go in the House of Assembly to represent the people and not themselves by clowning around.
Honestly, I do not know. I cannot say what was her reasoning for doing it, but if I were rendering a judgment, I would say she was being cute about the fact that, or chiding the leader of the opposition to suggest that maybe I don't have to give you this answer because maybe you ain't gonna be where you are after convention. So that is possible, even though, you know, if Michael Pintard loses the leadership of the FNL, it isn't probable, but it is still possible for him to be leader of the opposition, you know, because you are not made leader of the opposition by virtue of your being leader of the party. Dr. Hubert Minnis proved that because he was leader of the party and he was fired by his colleagues as leader of the opposition. Remember, Loretta Butler Turner replaced him as leader of the opposition for a time. And so it is a question of whether he has the support of the members opposite to the government in the House of Assembly. That determines who's the leader of the opposition.
But Mr. Lang, what I'm trying to ask, is that a part of the House rules?
What is a part of the House rules?
If she responds like that, doesn't she have the rights and the responsibility to answer the question that is put to her?
She has, as a government minister, that responsibility, but that is not a House of Assembly rule. That is a practice of good governance in a good government system. That is a part and function of the Westminster system. But it isn't the rule doesn't say the member must answer, but it is an offense to good governance, to accountability and transparency that you won't answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's really
good. Thank you, Ms. Lang.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, So you know, and so nobody gets punished for these things outside of whether the voters find the matter egregious and then decide that, you know, they want to do something about it when that time happens. But you can't force anybody. You can't take them to court. Now, you could carry them to court and you could ask the court to adjudicate on the matter of whether or not they should answer. Maybe you get an answer and maybe the court can. I don't even know if the court has a remit to require the answering of that question, except there is a law that requires it, and that's where the Freedom of Information Act would come into play. Right? But it's just never good luck. You know what I mean? And let me tell you all something. Just how Texas texting now and saying, oh, Mr. Lang, these games always happen, these games always happen, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's the same way that the politicians look at it, right? And they say, man, listen, this is how the game is played. And they come to you, every single one of them, FNM, PLP, you know what? They come to you and say, "Chai, we can do things differently." If you can do things differently, then do things differently. If you can do the same thing, how do I get different? Right? And then you're a supporter watching the non-different take place, and then you come and justify it. Or you just look at it and you're not a supporter, but you just justify it anyways. That's where the expression came from. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I do think that Mr. Monroe has a point, though, to the extent that, well, Mr. Pintad, y'all remember I told you all this, you know. Did I not tell you all this? Yo, Mr. Pintad, you got a convention coming up. You even if somebody thinks you were strong before, what you think you got to do now? You got to show even stronger how you could do your job. Because whether he asks for it or don't ask for it, the members office, they can chide him. That's what they can do. They're going to chide him because somebody's challenged him. If somebody were challenging Mr. Davis, he'd get chided the same way. And he's going to get chided until June 1 every day. And if he loses, he can get chided every day after that. Chided how? You've heard and you've seen members of the government stroking Dr. Minnis, stroking him, and you know, there goes that's the real leader. That's the real leader. Stoking him, and chiding Mr. Pintad. That's part and parcel of it. And you listen, if you're the FNM, get hurt feelings over these things because you know that's the politics of this life. You all do the same thing when your time comes. So don't start getting all weak-kneed and all offended now because this is politics, and if your back ain't strong and your skin ain't thick, you shouldn't be in that business. What do you expect Mr. Davis them to do? He was a whole prime minister of the Bahamas, he's a whole politician, and you got a member of your the leadership of your party opposite in a contest that people might say, oh, it's uncertain. And you expect them to sit down and just fold their arms and be quiet and pretend like ain't nothing up? Please. If the FNM was in office and Mr. Davis was faced with the same thing, they'd be lashing them the same way. So your FNM, stop your nonsense. Stop getting all like this is so egregious. Stay out of our business. Stay out of our business. You wouldn't stay out of their business. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Shabab. How you doing?
Hey, I'm right here, Anton.
Okay, interesting conversation. As a matter of fact, the FNM did chide and heckle the Prime Minister Davis, even in the last meeting of Parliament, because you know that was just a rogue. They tried to create a situation with the Deputy Prime Minister and the Prime Minister. And when the PLP was going to convention, they also tried to create a situation with Minister of Education, Honorable Glenisana Martin, and the Prime Minister, right? And so that goes back and forward. And that's happened in this dispensation of Parliament since the PLP formed government 2021, right? Between the last session and the current ongoing session. And so that happens. But strangely, though, Shivago, can you hear me clearly, by the way?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. Strangely, the FNM left 266 questions on the record from their last dispensation of Parliament. 266 questions unanswered on the Parliament record, Shivago.
But understood, and that's why I said I believe Mr. Monroe is right, but I also indicate you cannot blame that on any member. You have to blame that on the leadership. You remember occasions when Mr. Davis was asked questions and he said, well, you know, I don't recall that or I didn't listen. So, you know, in his essence, you know, this was other people in leadership. I could promise you questions in the House of Assembly only get answered if the Prime Minister wishes them to be done so.
And the strange thing about it, on that same point, I'm actually happy you brought it up. I wasn't going to say anything about it. I was just going to say the 266 unanswered questions that the FNM left on the record from the last dispensation of Parliament when they were the government. But seeing as you brought that particular part up, I'd say, looking at what the leader of opposition business brought up, which was followed by support from the the opposition leader, Michael Pinton, when they stated that if or the ability for other ministers in the House to respond to questions, even if the minister responsible doesn't wish to answer. And so I believe that within itself would sort of isolate, set aside, and make void any suggestion that even the current opposition leader could try to take, to state that he wasn't the leader of the party or he wasn't.
Well, I know, Antoine, you're wrong. Antoine, listen, I on this score, I am not a theorizer. Okay? I understand how this thing works.
That's fine.
If the prime minister mm-hmm. wishes questions to be answered, they
the
will be answered.
The first among equals, that's it.
Antoine, please.
In the parliament.
Antoine, please,
a member of parliament.
Okay, man. No problem, man. Carry on. This your show.
Who represents a specific seat?
That is nonsense. The questions answered are the government's question, and the government is the prime minister's government.
And in the parliament, each person has their own conscience.
But in the parliament, members of parliament don't answer questions of the government. Ministers do, who happen to be members
that.
Of parliament.
And
who
that's why I brought up the point. That's why I brought up the punch, Bagger, because opposition leader Pinton was a minister.
No, listen. I am not denying he has to be a part of the collective responsibility of that unanswered question. No. Absolutely. 100%. So he doesn't get a pass and say, oh, well, I didn't leave him there. No. His government left him there. The government that he was a part of left him there. I'm merely saying, though, the mechanics. I want the Bahamian people to understand government. I don't want nobody to be cute with them.
Right.
If a prime minister wants questions answered, they will be answered.
Ultimately, I agree with that.
Ultimately, but my brother, I know ultimately. Ingram said to us, no, I know ultimately. When Ingram said to us, listen, we can do questions and answers. We bring the answers. That was that.
However, Shabago, would you agree that although there will be consequences, a minister of government can still take the position to answer questions, even if his leader or prime minister dictates that they should not. Do you agree?
But of course he could. Of course he could. You could do anything, Bon. You could cuss the prime minister out if you want.
There would be consequences, naturally.
No, but I'm trying to talk to Bahamians about how our system works, man. I'm not trying to talk to them about oddities in the system.
I understand, Shababa. I'm not disagreeing with your disposition. You know, all I'm saying is, based on the reality, based on the practice, based on what took place in the last administration to the current, and also utilizing what the leader of opposition business, Adrian White, stood up on his feet in Parliament yesterday and spoke to, and I heard because I was listening, that principle could then, in this discussion, be turned around and applied to Pinton, who also sat as a cabinet minister in the last administration, where 266 questions went unanswered. That's it. That's all, Shabago. That's all I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing with your disposition on how it's supposed to work, because I agree with your statement right before I call in, where you expressed to the caller that it lends to good governance, the practice of taking the responsibility and answering the questions, which will bring me to my last point, Shabago. The Prime Minister, clearly, there was only one question, Shabago, that of the 24 questions asked by Pinton to the Prime Minister, that the Prime Minister stated right out that he was not going to answer. All of the other questions, he stated that he was not in a position at that time to answer, which is an indication to me that he's not saying he won't answer them. He's just not simply prepared at that specific time. He has another 2.5 years of his administration with which to address those questions. And as the leader of government business, not Minister of National Security, Minister William Monroe stated, the government has a record of answering questions unlike the previous administration. And I believe that in the next 2.5 years, even if they don't answer the questions in the next session or two of Parliament, they will get to the questions.
Anton, you are always capable of speaking more authoritatively for the government than even cabinet ministers can. I have to tell you that. That is a remarkable ability you have. Well, let me tell you this. As someone who has been fired in government twice, carry on smartly.
No, look at Shivago.
Carry on smartly, brother.
Hey, Shivago.
In the business of winning and losing, I have experience.
Shivago, before you let me go, let me just say something to that, please. Shivago.
Go ahead, man.
Thank you. Look, remember I said to you, I agree with your position, you know. I don't disagree with you. I just chose not to speak from that perspective. But I agree with your position that it is the practice of good governance, right? And ultimately, where yes or men or yes or women may be in the ear of a particular leader or cabinet minister telling them amen, 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 if their voices aren't aligned with the people, that will be the end result. And so I agree with that whole article. I just chose not to speak from that perspective. God bless
you. I got you, brother. Thank you very much. We have another caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah. Hey, good afternoon. How you doing?
Hey, right here, man. How are you?
Yeah. Good, thanks. Minister Pintard, how much time do you deserve under the FNM?
Who, me? You asking me? You calling me, Mr. Pintard?
Yeah.
You asking me how many times,
Mr. Minister, the Minister Lang, how much time you serve under the FNM in government?
Twice.
Hello?
Yeah, twice. Two times. Twice.
Oh, so you get fired like Anton twice from government too, then, Eddie?
Yeah, but you didn't hear me yet.
Yeah, all right, Uncle Tom. Keep that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us today. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
Why settle for an ordinary burger when you can indulge in the new Farmhouse King at Burger King Nassau? Sink your teeth into two juicy flame-grilled beef patties piled high with crisp bacon, American cheese, crispy onions, a fried egg, and a spicy mayo sauce that adds bold flavor to every bite. Enjoy the new Farmhouse King as a combo with fries and a drink, or if you're feeling extra hungry, try the King's Feast, available exclusively at Burger King Nassau.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Mothers are the heart of our homes, the soul of our memories, and the guiding light through life's journeys. Show your love with a gift from Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, Friday, May 3rd through Saturday, May 11th. Enjoy 20% off selected dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. One lucky person can win a gift basket for Mother's Day. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, May 3rd through 11th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
I'm
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. This text says, unfortunately, people have short memories. Says, about the teasing of Penta, this is also my response to the caller. This is the same reason why Naughty reprimanded Anton yesterday and cut him off. It is what it is. Okay, so I wanted to mention something else to you. So the government has passed a bill give people the option of trial by jury versus a judge rather than trial by jury. And I have to confess that on the face of it, I thought, you know, there can certainly be advantages to that for an individual seeking to have a fair or intelligent, or knowledgeable look at their case, because jurors are not necessarily trained in law and all these kinds of things. They, you know, and so they may not be able, even though they get guidance, they may not be able to see the thing as, say, a judge might see it. And so you, on the face of it, without appearing to be elitist, you know, you think, okay, maybe this is not a bad thing, or this is in fact a good thing. I wondered why do we have a jury system to begin with? Why given? Because the Prime Minister laid out some of the reasons why defendant might want a trial by jury, by judge, and he indicated the same thing. He has a knowledgeable person who knows the law and blah 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 and blah and so forth. Which I agreed that all of those could be the case. Given all of that, why do we maintain a jury system? Why do we have one? Well, firstly, let me say, before we look behind it, apparently it's in the Constitution that you have an entitlement to be tried by a jury of your peers as a constitutional entitlement. I am advised by lawyers. It's a constitutional entitlement. So you can't take it away without going back to the people and saying, and it's an entrenched provision, you can't take it away without going back to the people and say, do you want to no longer have trial by jury and only have trial by judges? Now, some people to whom I spoke suggested that, you know, most people would probably say, yeah, that they did. And I happen to think that they might probably say, yeah, more so because people don't want to serve on juries know-how, but also because maybe they don't trust juries as much as they might trust a judge, right? But it's the Constitution of the Bahamas that you have an entitlement to trial by jury. So the question then becomes one of, if the government passes a law that gives you a right not to have that trial by jury, is that unconstitutional? I suspect that that might be challenged one day. Like other things have been challenged in court. I was told of a situation in the Bahamas where there was, you know, in the magistrate court, you can, the maximum sentence that could be given is 5 years. But there was a case in which the government prosecuted someone for large quantities of drugs, and that prosecution took place in the magistrate court, which meant that notwithstanding that you could, in some such circumstances, get be worthy of much larger fines, much larger sentences. You could only get 5 years. Anyways, as I understand it, some situation occurred in which the government decided, listen, you know what? We can't have this no more. So it amended the law such that you could be tried in the magistrate court, but you had your sentence done in the Supreme Court. See that? And so now you could get tried and convicted, but you could sentence in the Supreme Court, and then you could get a higher sentence in the Supreme Court. But my understanding is that case was actually appealed. And when it was appealed, the court said, no, that can't happen. That can't happen. So, you know, and so similarly, might the court say, yeah, but you know, you can't give a person the choice to be tried by judge. The Constitution says they must be tried by jury. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just saying. Anyways, the Constitution requires. The second thing is for me was, I said, but why this jury trial situation to begin with? And then I learned that the jury system, that is the right, the process of having ordinary members of the society, of your peers, judge you, predates even democracy. Goes back more than 800 years. Right? Goes back beyond the USA's age and all that kind of stuff. Goes back many years. And was retained. Why? Think about it for a moment. One woman gets to sit and adjudicate over your matter. One man, one woman to be influenced. I'm not suggesting anybody's being influenced, but one man, woman to be influenced, either by the state or by some element outside the state. One person possessed of such power to adjudge your life, your freedom, and so forth and so forth. Versus 12 people. These days a little less than that. Used to be 12. I think they was following not 12, the number of the disciples. 12 people. So have to be convinced of or unconvinced of something. Right? And in the case of murder, if one person does not agree, because it has to be unanimous decision. There you go. And so I'm advised that jury systems exist as a check on judges. Right? It's a way of saying, well, you know, you can't arm one soul with so great a power as to determine the life and freedom of any individual. So I don't know whether or not this bill will be challenged or so. On the face of it, I think it does have offered some merits, but I'm advised it could buck against the Constitution. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller, we're listening to you.
Hey, Mr. Lang, how you doing, sir?
Hey, right here, man, how are you?
Listen, man, this thing with these judges, this can't take place. I have a situation now where prominent judge in Freeport, white lady, Rankin.
No, bro.
Yeah. All right.
You can't do that on
all right.
The show.
She had a
bro.
Situation with her.
No. I can't listen. You got to talk to me about generalizations. You cannot specifically talk to me about anything if you're going to be accusative. That can't happen on the show. All right. We have a responsibility to the people for whom we work to ensure that we are not participants or enabling any kind of breach of people's rights, any defaming, any libel taking place. We have to be careful. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take our final break, and when we come back, we will continue and wrap up our conversation. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe! The car?
I ain't marsh the car. The lady who run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is the National Youth Guard program designed to train young people to help the Bahama Islands in times of disaster.
I decided to join to better serve my country as well as to better myself.
We train to help in search and rescue,
electrical, plumbing, and carpentry.
And things that they can actually expand on in their careers.
Young people who join the Youth Guard program discover a sense of purpose and a sense of patriotism.
To learn more and apply, visit nyg.bahamas.gov.bs.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. We have a text here that says, I found Jobeth's response to be insulting. I was offended at her playing cute. Both she and the PM never appear to know anything about anything, even the critical matters. How is this possible? If all she can do is play cute, give someone else the seat, who can answer the hard questions? Text says, Mr. Lang, it's not a new day. It's the same old dirty ways. His text says, is he PM or honorable member in the House of Assembly? Well, he's both. You're talking about the Prime Minister, Brad Davis. This text says, ain't no joking around when you ask a question about the terms of a $500 million loan. Is that caller serious? Texas, here's my far-out postulation. PM and PLP want to show disrespect to Mr. Pintar to make him seem weak to FNM so that FNMs would then want to low-hanging fruit. Minis as leader. Given Minis' unpopularity with a large number of voters, Pintar is certain to be a more formidable opponent come general election time, says this texter. If Texas laugh out loud, you dismiss the Russian connection, the $500 million loan was probably secreted to the government straight from the Kremlin. Since no one wants to answer in Parliament, that seems a good enough story. Miss Texas, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Mr. Lang, back in the 70s, you had to be married to run for the House of Assembly, but now anybody could run once you have that $400. No, you didn't have to be married. That was never in the law. Never in the law. That's not true at all. So don't say that. That's not true. For me, it's like the House of Assembly become like a somewhere you go to have fun. They don't act as though it's a serious and respectful place. I know Sir Lyndon rolling over in his grave, much as to say that's what the Bahamas come to. Miss Tech says, I also got the distinct impression she's cute and proud of being cute like a high school girl. The duties of an MP does not include how cute you could be. Miss Tech says, is PM or honorable member? Sorry, I read that before. Says, good day, Mr. Lang. Anton was dead wrong. If you want a cup of wood, Brave Davis said in the House of yesterday, I can send it to him. If you go on YouTube, you can watch the House of Assembly or Parliament Station. Okay. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, guys. How much Lang? How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm right here. How are you?
Good, man. Listen, the first thing I want to say is this, man. I think members of parliament need to learn one old thing from the old people. Two wrongs does not make one right. Okay? So in spite of the fact that the former administration may not have answered some questions put to them, you should lead by example and teach the younger generation who replace you at some point in time as to how they ought to conduct themselves. The second thing I want to say to you, man, I really appreciate you educating the public, and I get a lot of education from you, too. But if you could try to fashion a show, so you could try to, from now, guide those persons who are interested in getting the frontline politics, who may find themselves in the cabinet, knowing the procedure and the processes that governs them so they can conduct themselves. I believe that'd be good if they know from now, so they can make a determination as to whether or not they want to get in the frontline politics, seriously, or even get into the cabinet. You got to make them accountable to the people.
Actually, you know, not on this show. I wouldn't, this is a far, this is a talk show. This is a talk show. But actually, the Government and Public Policy Institute is going to mount a series of seminars for persons who are interested in public life to introduce them to public policy and public administration. So you should stay tuned for that. People will get, so somebody who's interested in politics, interested in running, et cetera, they could register and get into that seminar.
Yeah, I look forward to that, and I certainly hope that I make myself available to gain some information. I can say I probably, because I was an auditor for the government, I know the system very well. I hope Simon Wilson, who's the finance secretary, will be a part of that to educate. But I mean, you could do it anyhow.
Yeah, but many great, many people, former permanent secretaries and those who can be a part of that process. Yeah. Just as you know, that's I don't know if you know, we have a program we've run for the government now for a couple of years called the Public Sector Institutional Capacity Building Training Program. This is the Government and Public Policy Institute. And in that program, we have three stages of training. One stage is an introduction to self-leadership and management. So you do that stage. It's a number of modules. You do that. Then there's a second stage in which you do public policy and public administration introduction. And then they branch off into their various specialties. So the statistic people to statistics, the finance people to finance, the leadership, executive leadership people to executive leadership and what have you. So we are able to give this exposure to public officers.
So cabinet ministers present and those who have a future aspirations to become cabinet ministers will learn the system or have some knowledge of the system before they come in. Because, see, I think too often cabinet ministers think that because the budget is the ministry of so-and-so budget, they're the minister, they think that their budget, so to speak, but not to spend like that. Those budgets are exactly what they're a budget. You anticipate what you want to spend and the items in which they will be spent on. You have no power to just take the government money and spend it as you see fit because you're named minister. And you have no power to tell the Auditor General that he can examine your book and he has to speak to you before he makes a report. That, you don't have to do that. He did it out of courtesy so that he can get some questions answered if there are some queries found by the auditor. But you don't have to do it. You know, law says you have to do it.
Frankly, the Financial Administration and Audit Act names permanent secretaries as the chief financial officers of ministries.
That is correct. Not the minister.
Yeah.
So,
Minister is the chief
policy maker. That's what he is.
Yeah. And it isn't complicated for them what is to be done with money because the parliament instructs how money is to be spent. That's what all those heads and line items are about. So parliament told you have $11 million. You can spend $2 million on this, $3 million on that, and so forth. So for now, if in a head you want wire in between that, you can do that, but you can't go above that head, above what is authorized to be spent, and you can't take monies just willy-nilly and wire from one ministry to the next or from one head to the next.
The next thing is, I want to say, I believe in some cases, I want to believe that sometimes going before a judge rather than a whole jury can sometimes lead to a quicker results of a case or to resolve a case. But I believe the accused should have the right to determine whether or not he wants a jury, because the Constitution, like you said, you can't change the Constitution. But you can't do it unless we have a referendum to change the Constitution. But the way the Prime Minister is trying to do, I believe it should be the defendant having the right to determine whether or not he wants a jury case or he wants a single judge case.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the legal constitutional issue is with it, but there is something appealing about it to me. Something, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you calling.
Good job, man. I really appreciate you.
Thank you likewise, brother. Thank you. This text says you all have judges who operate on feelings, and what happened to them? They still there. I rather a group of my peers. Okay. Yeah, but I ain't getting into the specifics of no situation, so man, I can't do it. I'm sorry. This says, Selang, that caller trying to get you sued, and I don't have an extra $8 million hanging around to assist with the loss. Me nor you, bro. This text says, good afternoon, Z. I would rather have a panel of 3 judges as opposed to 12 jurors to judge my case. I have sat as a juror and experienced how lightly some take the great responsibility of holding someone's life in their hands. A panel of 3 judges, please. Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Okay. It's Texas. Thanks for the platform you give to me to express myself. Although we sometimes disagree, please understand that my respect for you is maximum respect to you, my brother. Likewise. Don't mind. You understand, man. Don't mind me, man. I just get passionate just like everybody else in the world gets passionate. At the end of the day, you don't got to worry about lying, man. You all is love. Trust me when I tell you all that. I don't have bad feelings for no human being on planet. I thank Almighty God for that. No. You know, I've been offensive to people, and I have offended people. And so I can't be holding nothing against nobody, man. Let's say, what is that? Which is utter nonsense? What you mean is utter nonsense? You mean the trial by jury? Which one do you mean? About a trial by judge? You have a call on the line? Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good day, Mr. Lang. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems to me like if a person chooses to be tried by judge versus jury, won't that give them a reason to go to the Privy Council and say that they were unfairly tried because the Constitution says otherwise? You don't think that's leaving a loophole for that to happen?
I don't know. That could only be the case if it is deemed, like if they go and appeal their matter, and then on appeal they lose again, and then ultimately they could go to the Privy Council and they can make that case. I don't know that it gives them grounds to do so, because you get the choice. You're going to tell the Privy Council, they put to me, do you want trial by jury or do you want trial by judge? I chose trial by judge, and now you can tell the Privy Council, well, that wasn't fair to me, that I chose the trial by judge, and I don't like what the judges do. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah, because I somehow see, like, the person who called us now, the thing you're talking about, the three judges. I would rather the three judges, because that would give them options to have different views rather than one single judge at the end of the day. You understand? It's similar to a jury trial, however, just be three judges. And I feel like I would rather a case like that, because I feel it could be more fair. Because, you know, some of these judges, they know persons. And how would we know, would they be able to vet the judge to see if the judge know anybody that was harmed or injured or the family?
Your attorney can. That's your attorney's responsibility. Your attorney asks the judge. It's your attorney's responsibility is to find out whether this judge might have any cause or reasons to be biased toward you. That's the attorney's job. The same thing is true about a jury. There could be people sitting on the jury who have issues with you, and the prosecution and the defense's responsibility is to vet those jurors to make sure that you are able to get as fair a trial as possible.
I feel like this is something they should have brought to the public and have like forums on it rather than just going ahead with it, because it might cause problems in the end that we don't want to have, you know. That's how I feel.
Possible. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. So, Shivago, I remember in the 90s in Miami, the feds locked up about three judges for fixing cases for money and for tax evasion. Who would check our judges because they don't disclose their income like they should by law? Do judges have to disclose their income by law? Are they covered under? They might be. Yeah, they might be covered under Disclosure Act. Ah, boy. Anyways, interesting. I think it was an interesting pause. I'm trying to think. So the Prime Minister's justification for it is that, you know, you have such difficulty empaneling jurors these days. People are truly reluctant to serve on jurors. They know it's not really an option when you call to do so, unless you disqualify. But it is empaneling jurors are difficult, for sure, in our little small society. Anyway, we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us today. God bless you. Stay tuned. Tomorrow, He Spares Life. We will be with you. Take care.
Take a stand, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.